Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
So whatever the situation you find yourself in, there is a next. But the problem is, will it be a default because you chose to do nothing? Will it be a demonic because you gave in to what the enemy brought? Or you will maximize the opportunities God give you so that you can have a divine what? Next.
Life is full of transitions, new days, opportunities, and seasons. But what kind of next are we stepping into? In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil teaches that we can experience one of three types of next: the default next, the demonic next, or the divine next. The default next happens when we passively move forward without intentionally seeking change through faith. It's the path of least resistance. The demonic next is when Satan strategically interferes with God's plan, aiming to discourage and derail us from walking in faith and to lose sight of what God desires for our lives. The divine next, however, is when we fully trust in God's promises and seize the opportunities He places before us. Jeremiah 29:11 reassures us of this truth. Pastor Neil reminds us that trials do not cancel God's purpose. They refine us. So we must walk in faith, knowing that setbacks are never strong enough to thwart divine destiny. Like Job, we can one day declare, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson. Our divine next.
Ephesians chapter 3, look at the 20th verse if you can read with me. I'll read this from the King James. He says, "Now unto him that can do exceeding abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God can do exceeding abundantly. Most people misinterpret this verse. They call it, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly." No, it is exceeding abundantly. In other words, God can do the abundant, but not just the abundant, but the exceeding aspect of the abundant. Did you understand what we just said? So he's saying that God can do, if the word abundant is, for example, good, then God can do the exceeding aspect of the good. Are you following me? So you are servant of God who says, "I can take your life from the good and take it to the better and then make it the best. I can take your life from the big to the bigger and the biggest." God is a God who is specialized in changing your life and my life. So today I want to challenge you for the next few weeks that I want you to stir up your faith and believe the Lord, because we are still maximizing. Do not allow life just simply to throw stuff at you and you grab them, because if you did that, what you will experience is the default next. And if Satan is in the loop, it will be his next. Are you with me? I remember many, many years ago when this ministry began. It was begun on Palm Sunday in my basement, in my house. Few weeks, we moved to a hotel called Sleep Inn. Few weeks, we moved from Sleep Inn Hotel to, back then they called it the FSK Hotel on Holiday Drive. Today it's called the Clarion Inn. From that hotel, we went to a storefront on the Golden Mile. From there, we went to downtown. So you see that there's always what? A next. Then from downtown, we came here. Chances are, I would say this is the best. But what if God says this actually is the better? But then I have something much what? Bigger. Amen. It is the same thing with your life. You think you have arrived. No, 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 no. You serve a God who knows how to take things and says, "I will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask." If you can dare to ask or imagine it, God is able to make it happen. Do not live life by default. I said, do not live life by what? You are hoping somebody somewhere will show up and do something for you. You're kidding yourself. People naturally are selfish. Everybody is looking after themselves. And don't ever think they will come do something for you. When you make choices on purpose, then God will call somebody to come and do something on your behalf. So the person is not acting on their own. In fact, if they were allowed to make their choice, they wouldn't do that. But they are doing it because you have taken a step of faith and God has stepped in the middle of it and is making it happen. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. So I pray that God has to bring us to a place. You see, this truth is not new to all of us sitting here. Am I right? This is not new. We know God can do better. We know God can do better. The problem is that when we are in the midst of an issue, we tend to forget. So today I want to impress some truth on your heart that God has a plan for your life. Say that with me. God has a plan for my life. For the last time, God has a plan. Are you really sure God has a plan?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to push this. I'll come to where our real lesson was started. I'm still laying a foundation. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 11. In him we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. The scripture says that God, by his foreknowledge, has already set up a plan for you. This is why you must understand. It doesn't matter who went for a meeting and they worked something out. If for some reason it looks like they succeeded, they have actually not succeeded. Because nobody has ever planned something that has actually put out the plan of God. That's what I'm trying to get you to. God has a plan for my life. So it doesn't matter which government. If God's plan is for you to live in the United States, no amount of deportation will get you.
Yes.
Now, it's a better, we need to have a better amen. Amen. You don't need to be afraid because when God sets out a plan, no human, absolute, in fact, no demon too. But sometimes that thing has not sunk down into our knower. It's not gotten down deep. So we tend to live life and allow life to happen. Don't allow life to happen. Begin to choose on purpose to walk by faith and say, God, I see it, but I refuse to live that way because I do believe you have a better plan for me. Say it one more time. Lift your hands and say, my God has a plan for me. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. Look at the 10th verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared in advance. So if God has prepared something in advance, who can step in and stop it? That's the thing you need to remind yourself of. The word handiwork has to do with someone who is a craftsman. Everybody say craftsman. If you ever visited a metal shop, right? That is where you see craftsmen or carpenters or maybe people who do pottery. And then they start something. Sometimes when you are standing close by and you are looking at what they are doing, you will have no clue what they intend to achieve. Have you ever watched an artist, the ones who draw images, right? When they start painting, oftentimes you don't know where they are going with their painting. You see one line, two dots, and then maybe three dots scattered, and it doesn't make sense. But if you stay close and watch that handiwork, you will gradually begin to see the image coming out. So when people look at you, they see one line. They see two dots. They have no clue what God has already prepared. And it takes time, and God is going to bring his work of artistry. And when people say, oh, we never knew. This is why you cannot look at people and prejudge them. Because you have no clue what God has already what? Planned for them. Now, I want you to forget about people and think about you. God has a plan for you. In the year 2025, it may look like a straight line. Maybe by 2026, you see two dots. But give yourself time and keep walking with that God and keep placing faith in that God. And you'll begin to see that an image will begin to what? Emerge. So the scripture says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Unto? So what God has for you is not bad works. It's good works. Are you with me? The book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Tell the person sitting next to you, God has a plan concerning you. Never forget that. If you are married here, God has a plan for the marriage. The troubles and the fight is not his plan. But he's going to use the troubles and the fight. I will get to that. Are you in John chapter 10 and verse 10? Let's read from the screen if you can. Shall we? Go. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I like it in the Amplified. He says, I have come that you may have life abundantly until it becomes an overflow. For the devil's next is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus says, the divine next is so that you will have what? Life. And have it to the full. Are you really living life to the full? Because sometimes people's interpretation is that living life to the full is having a car and a house. I bet you there are people who have cars and houses and they don't have peace. That is not living life to the full. In fact, if you will allow me, it is not the best illustration, but it gives you an idea. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in downtown Frederick walking. And I was walking through on a hot day. It was really hot. And I met this guy. He was sitting by the side of the road, and he leaned on a building. And in over 100 degree temperature, he was asleep. I am not saying he's living life to the full, but if somebody lives life to the full, that's the kind of picture that when everything that surrounds them looks like it is working against them, they are able to live above it. Are you hearing me today? And that is you. I want you to turn, look straight at the person sitting next to you. You have to change your mind. Tell them. God has a plan for you. Don't let your circumstances put you down. Now, I want us to ask a very important theological question. That if my life has been preordained by God, and God has a plan for me, how come that crazy stuff happens to me? Is that a good question to look at? Because there are many, God has a plan. We heard that. He's able to do exceeding, But it doesn't seem to be true because when I look at my own life, stuff is happening to me. Please listen very carefully to me. Israel, come here. Israel is my son. There are plans I have for him. He has no clue. But he knows. No, I have plans for him that he has no clue. But as long as he remains my son, my plan, which unknown to him, but known to me, would actually be put in place until they come to pass. Am I correct? Now, if he sways off, and he's on the street doing all kinds of craziness, does his behavior change the plan I have for him? No. I want you to understand what you're saying to yourself. Because sometimes something little happens, the plan of God is over. No, it's not. Because the plan I have for him The day he returns and come back home, I will implement my plan for him. Do not allow the devil to come to you and to tell you that because there have been some few issues and maybe you are troubled and maybe you've not had a job, a stable one for a long time, so your finances are over. No. They are just in a limbo. But it ain't over because the plan of God for you, it's still the same. And I'll show it to you. Go with me to the book of Job. Let's look at the life of a guy in the Bible who had so much happening to him. And in the midst of it, he has three friends of his come to him, and they had conversations with him, and they said all kinds of craziness. You know how human beings, every day we have explanations. How many of you have friends like that? Yes, you do. You do. Friends who always have a meaning for something in your life. When they start this time, tell them, child, just keep quiet because you are not God. Because my Heavenly Father has a plan for my life. We all know the story of Job. Job went through so much. And the scripture says, as he continued to go through things, his friends kept telling him, child, we don't see anything. Everything is going bad. But in Job 42, verse 2 and 3, Job says something that is so powerful. But that was after he came to a conclusion. So let's read his conclusion statement. Ready? Read with me. Go. I know that you can do all things. Pause right there. That is what many believers know. But the next statement, we don't know. Because we allow people's explanations and troubles to throw us off. All right, now let's begin reading again. Ready, go. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Now let me take you back. If you have your Bibles, go to Job chapter 35. Because that is when Job began to say things like, hey, it looks like God doesn't have a plan for my life. It looks like all the things that are going on in my life, I am going nowhere. Is there anybody like that here in the building? That sometimes when you look at all of your life, especially in a church like ours where we are fully an immigrant community, we all came here looking for money, looking for good life. So when you are not seeing good life, it is as if that Satan is winning, life is winning, everything is over. Do not make Job's mistake. Are you in Job chapter 35? Look at verse 16. I'll read this one from the Amplified. Job uselessly opened his mouth. Do not uselessly open your mouth. Because you don't know the plan that God has for you. Tell the person sitting next to you, please, they are not insulting you, they are just reminding you. Tell them, don't uselessly open your mouth.
Don't uselessly open your mouth.
Job uselessly opened his mouth and multiplied words without knowledge, drawing the worthless conclusion that the righteous have no more advantage than the wicked. That's what he's saying. Go to chapter 38 of the book of Job, because now you'll begin to understand why Job was saying what he's saying. He's having a conversation. He says, it doesn't make sense to be a Christian. It doesn't make sense to be a child of God. It looks like my life will amount to nothing. Everything I've tried is not working out. It looks like Satan is on top. And the scripture says, when he spoke, God came back and he began to have conversation with Job. I pray that you will not come to that place. Look at Job chapter 38. Let's read just the first six verses. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans? Without words, without knowledge, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Do you understand what we just read? Now, Job has said all the things he said, and God comes to him and says, who is this person who obscures? In other words, who is this person who don't even know what my plan is for him? And he opens his mouth uselessly, and he's saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Then God says to him, Job, I know it is you who is saying that because of the things you are going through, I have no plan for you. It doesn't make sense to be a Christian. It doesn't make sense to be a child of God. Why did I choose to live a righteous life? It doesn't really make sense. In fact, the people who are not living righteous life, they seem to be doing better. Who told you a house is better? Who told you a car is better? When was the last time you saw somebody buried with a car in it? Who knows the dimension of a coffin? I have never seen a grave so big and a coffin so big that they fit your car in it. Nobody has that. As soon as you die, somebody is going to inherit the things you are struggling about. So it is better you struggle about eternity, because that matters more. Amen. God comes to Job. He said, Job, I'm going to ask you a question, and I need you to listen to how God is asking this guy all these questions, because it's not pretty. God comes to him. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off the dimensions? Surely you know, don't you? Who stretched a measuring line across it? What kind of measuring device can measure the length of the earth? God was telling Job, me, I measured the earth. I know its dimensions. How many of you know how much hair you got? God knows it. The scripture says he knows every single one of them. Even when you go shave your hair, and then new hair begins, he knows how much is on there. He's asking Job, when I laid the foundation, where were you? He says, when the seas gushed forth and it could have gone everywhere, who kept its boundaries? He's asking Job. He said, Job, there are things you have no clue. And I'm telling you today, please forgive me. I may sound mean. Most of us, we don't know nothing. Yet we talk anyhow. Remember that God who said you are his child says, I have a plan for you. And that plan can never be thwarted. So Job is saying what he's saying because now after he blurted all the craziness, he has finally come to a conclusion and he says, now I know that no plan of yours. Not that you can just do all things, but no plan. There is absolutely no plan of God for you that Trump can derail. Absolutely no plan of God for you that any politician can destroy. No politician, hear me, the nations of the world, you either walk with Jehovah or you fall on the side. For those who choose to maximize the plan of God for your life will always come to pass. That is your divine next. And those who understand that, they walk with a level of confidence. It is not because they are cocky. It's not because they are proud. It is because they have their understanding that there is absolutely nothing. So don't worry about demons. Damn demons. What in the world would they be able to do? When God measured the foundations of the earth, when he decided, I have drawn an imaginary line here and the sea cannot go past it, where were you? And where were those demons? Your life is in his hands. Your life is in his hands. Your life is where? It's in his hands. The prophet Jeremiah puts it this way. He says, the Lord sent me to go into the house of the potter. That is another handiwork. And as he was pushing the wheel and turning it, the clay in the hands of the potter got marred. But then he put it back, mixed it all up, and began to shape it again into the very thing he wanted it to be. As long as you maximize, as long as you are exhausted, but you keep in pursuit by faith, God is able to make you to become what he wants you to be. Amen. Nothing on earth can change that. Nothing. And this is why, parents, when you look at your children who you brought up in the fear of the Lord and they seem to be walking away from God, oh, all our mothers, it is time that you become a midwife to this generation. Midwives that are standing over these young ones and you are declaring you will not walk in sin. I bring you back into the house of my God, because no plan of God can ever be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. You move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power. You perform miracles, there is nothing that is impossible. And we are standing here only because you made the way. So we have looked at the life of Job, that the pain, the trouble, what Satan did could not stop God's plan. How many of you know that in Job's life, it was Satan who was bringing the next and the next and the next, but it could not work because he chose to walk in the divine next. I want us to look at the second example, is the dude called Joseph. Maybe most of us can relate to Joseph. When you read the book of Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, which is the verse we all like reading, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. Child, that is the end of the story. But the beginning of the story, go to Genesis chapter 37. Let's look at God's plan for him. Are you in Genesis 37? Anybody learning anything this morning? Genesis 37, starting from the fifth verse, reading from the New International Version, it says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. If somebody said that, he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Wow. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers come and bow down to you? Now, I wanted to pause. This was the original plan of God for him. He gave it to him in a dream. But thereafter, we are answering the theological question that if God has a preordained plan for my life, why does stuff happen to me? And you all remember the stuff that happened to Joseph, right? Joseph goes from the father's house. He is sold. He's put in a pit. He goes to Potiphar's house and somebody lies on her. Stuff is going to happen to you. I wish I can say it won't. But stuff will happen to somebody will lie on you, but that will not change God's preordained plan for you. Amen. He gets put in jail. It was as if it was the end of the story, but that was not God's plan. But God knows how to take all those things and work it out. Paul says in the book of Romans, and we know all things, that God is able to make all things work together for your good. He knows it. So when stuff happens to you, don't give up on life. Amen. I said, don't give up on life. Remember that God has a plan for you. I am sure when the wife of Potiphar was lying on Joseph, she thought that, oh, I got him. No, 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 no. And somebody might be saying to you, they got you. But please do not forget that you have a God. Like David, cry out and say, oh, my soul, why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. Why? Because God has a plan for your life. And it doesn't matter who wants to put you down. They ain't going to win.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.